WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Lyndon B. Johnson, Harry Truman, Calvin Coolidge, James Polk, James Buchanan, Rutherford Hayes, Theodore Roosevelt, and now President Joe Biden. Those are the names of all the presidents who decided not to seek a second term when they were eligible. It's a short list, and no presidential incumbent has ever dropped out this close to an election. So to consider how Biden's decision fits into a wider historical perspective and discuss what it means for his legacy, I sat down with Will Howell, a professor of the Harris School of Public Policy at the University of Chicago. I started off by asking the professor to help us understand just how unprecedented this moment is.
We're saying it over and over again, and it's a word that's usually overused, but not in this case. We've never had an instance where not just this late in a campaign cycle, but an incumbent president who had secured all the delegates required to get the nomination, who, you know, didn't break out in some kind of open warfare with his party over any policy issue per se, and he wasn't subject to a scandal per se, nonetheless sees fit to stand down in this instance for obvious concerns about his age. It's really something to watch.
Yeah, people are connecting Biden's move to step aside to George Washington when he made the decision to not run for re-election after his second term. But how would you compare them?
Well, I'm not sure that comparison carries over fully, in that, you know, every bit of Biden's being was really wanting to hold on and to see this thing through, and all the avenues just closed on him. I think that it started with public sentiment. It then shifted to scattered voices and then conversations behind closed doors, and then increasingly publicly, major players in the Democratic Party and donors were weighing heavily on him, and there just wasn't a pathway forward. I mean, his hand was forced. Nonetheless, he saw fit to stand down willingly. He did so. He did so graciously. He then showed his backing for his vice president, which is something politically I think he had to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there is some free will being exercised here, but also coupled with a whole lot of political pressure.
We haven't had an incumbent president drop out this close to the race ever. And the last time we had it happen at all, it was Lyndon B. Johnson. So give us the parallels that you see there between this and that situation.
Well, there are some, but, you know, Johnson stepped down in March of 68, so the primary season hadn't played out. There were still many months before the convention, and it was at a time when foreign policy developments, the war in Vietnam, made it all pretty clear that he was going to face a real rough pathway forward. It wasn't about a concern about him per se, him, Johnson, and his ability to fulfill the duties of office, and which is what the main plot line is with Biden. Mm-hmm. And again, we're just a couple of weeks away from the DNC. This was back in March, when then there were months for a stable of candidates to step forward and to make their case. And what we've seen here is not just Biden's willingness to step down, but unbelievably, to my mind, I mean, within 24 hours, everybody falls in line behind Kamala Harris. It didn't then open the field to lots of other voices and talent being aired and vetted. It's just shifting from one front runner to another all at once.
Well, sticking with this Lyndon B. Johnson comparison for just a second, I think there is something to be said about the impact of war on the way that presidents and their decisions are criticized. So if you take LBJ, for example, public confidence in him as the nation's leader, that declined significantly in 1968 because of the country's involvement in the Vietnam War. And if you fast forward to 2024, it's been over 9 months since the beginning of the war in Gaza. And we know President Biden's gotten a lot of criticism for his seemingly unending support for Israel. So what are your thoughts on the role of war when it comes to moments like this?
Well, I think wars matter a whole bunch for the legacies of presidents. And some instances, they're enhancing, and other instances, they're entirely catastrophic. And so there are, you know, we saw with, for instance, 9/11, George W. Bush's approval ratings being shot through the roof north of 90% within days after 9/11 as the country shifted to a military posture. And it also is the case that a long drawn out war in Iraq was devastating to not just his legacy, which is still being sorted out, but also to the electoral prospects of the Republican Party. I don't think, though, that that's what we're seeing right now. That, yes, there are big strains within the party on how to deal with the war in Gaza. That's true. But the proximate issue, I think, really was his age and his ability to articulate a forceful rebuttal to Trump. And so his performance on the debate stage a little over a month ago just tapped into deep and abiding concerns that the public and a number of members of the Democratic Party were trying to raise, and it just cascaded all at once. And this had less to do with war per se and more to do with the ability of an 81-year-old to see this campaign through to the end, and then also serve for another 4 years.
Yeah. What has this chaotic election cycle highlighted about our political system, you think?
Well, one thing that it's highlighted and that we're seeing is the struggles of parties as robust entities to shape long and meaningful and sustained conversation across the coalitions that compose the two parties. On the Republican side, they've just collapsed all around a single individual, Donald Trump, entirely. And even though, you know, we don't have that kind of cult of personality on the Democratic side, we don't. And there was not just a measure of graciousness, but of goodwill on the part of Biden once he recognized there wasn't a way forward to sort of step aside and allow others to come forward. It is amazing just how quickly, I mean, again, within hours, how everybody fell in line behind Kamala Harris. And rather than taking a moment to say, look, what are the options here? What are the talents that we see in our midst? What are the ideas that we want to lift up? What kind of vision do we want to offer going forward, we as a party? And the Democratic Party didn't take advantage of that. To my mind, that's a strategic mistake, but it also speaks to how even on the Democratic side, I think that they're playing from a position of fear and the unwillingness of would-be contenders to challenge Kamala Harris and to say, for if only for a brief period of time, we should talk about our differences. There was none of that. I think everybody wanted to fall right in line and move past this position of uncertainty.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
An open convention is seeming less likely, according to drafted plans by the Democratic Party. Regardless, it is just the delegates who get to decide at this point, Professor. How might voters react to something like that?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, they're not just generic delegates. They're delegates that were aligned with the Biden-Harris ticket. And on the Republican side, there are all kinds of efforts. You hear Trump saying that, you know, this decision, this last-minute decision, effectively disenfranchises all kinds of primary voters, which you know, suddenly Donald Trump is the champion of Democratic governance, which is, you know, an interesting conceit. But I think there are abiding concerns about kind of the trust in elites and trust in political institutions. And here we had a process where Biden and Harris went through effectively unopposed throughout the primary season and then secured all the delegates needed. And then at the final hour, you know, the front runner is stepping down.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see how voters respond to this in the months ahead. Right now, there's euphoria within the Democratic ranks because they start to see a pathway forward in this election.
Yeah.
But once this settles in, how they'll feel, we'll have to watch.
Yeah, to that end, back in March, hundreds of thousands of Democratic voters cast their ballots as uncommitted or voted for no presidential candidate. We went to the streets at the time to hear what Illinois voters were feeling. Let's listen to a bit of that.
I can't believe we're sort of back here again, but it is what it is. Ultimately, I'll take Biden any day over Trump.
It's so polar opposite on both sides that, like, it's very sad. I wish there was somebody in the middle, in a sense, where I would genuinely vote for them.
We've gone through maybe like three election cycles where people aren't super excited on either side unless you're very strong left or very strong right.
Everyone's saying that there should be an age limit, and that's so factual. Yeah, it's not great.
So given this pressure before, Professor, why do you think, as you alluded to earlier, that it was the debate in June that was the turning point?
Well, I think the debate tapped into a set of enduring concerns about Biden's ability to forcefully, energetically command the stage and prosecute a case against a former president who Democrats see as a distinct threat to our democracy. And so it isn't just that he flubbed some lines in the debate. It's that put in stark relief a set of acute concerns that you heard in the voices of those people who you just played. This belief, you know, are we still working with these two candidates who didn't engender widespread excitement or support? And on the Biden side, it's coupled with a lot of anxiety about his ability to speak clearly and forcefully about the choices that are being put to the American public in this election.
Yeah, I mean, if Harris were to be the nominee, she would be up against someone who has served a term as president. We don't know exactly what a Harris presidency could look like. You think voters are considering that?
Yeah, we don't. And she is going to have to get out in front and make her case. You know, she ran for the presidency in 2019, and her campaign was largely pilloried, and she backed out before, you know, the first caucus in Iowa.
Right.
She then was brought on as the vice president. But even then, it's worth remembering that Biden-Harris that ticket, when Biden was running, he lost the first three, four primaries, and it wasn't until South Carolina that he picked up a win, and then we slipped into the pandemic,
right,
and everybody rallied behind him. So the idea that in the last campaign that they were, you know, that he was properly vetted within Democratic ranks and was able to generate lots of excitement, it's not clear. That's the challenge that's before her now.
Well, leave us with this. I've just got a few seconds, Professor. But what do you think people will remember about President Joe Biden?
Well, you know, at the top of the ticket is going to be his willingness to step down. And if the way that this breaks is that his vice president, president is able to win this upcoming election and be able to carry forward his policy agenda, he's going to be held, when we think about his legacy, he's going to be held among the greats of one-term presidents. If, on the other hand, the Democratic Party loses and this opens up deep rifts within Democratic Party ranks, mm-hmm. and there's an undoing of his policy achievements, well, then things will break very differently.
We've been talking with Will Howell, a professor of the Harris School of Public Policy at the University of Chicago, about the historical parallels and the unprecedented move of President Joe Biden dropping out of the race in November. Thank you, Professor.
It's good to be with you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin and Max Lubbers. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Max Lubbers. Here on Reset, we bring you breaking news, but we also get the bigger picture. If you want this mix of analysis and breaking news, well, sign up for our newsletter at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again this afternoon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely